Welcome to the 12thmanrising.com podcast with Lee Vell and Kevin Daggett. I am Lee, and that's Kevin, and we are produced and engineered, as always, by Rob Still of Coil Entertainment. I think Rob wants to ask a question to start the show tonight.
I have to jump in. I know I haven't been on the show. I'm just, you know, behind the curtain and stuff, but I have to ask you guys a question. How the hell did you lose to the Chargers last week?
I knew that's what you were going to say.
I mean, my disowned team, because it used to be in San Diego, and after they left, I couldn't care less about them. I knew you guys would win. I didn't even bother looking at it until Sunday night. Scores came up. How bad did San Diego won, even though they're in L.A.?
Chargers are a good team. They won it. I mean,
but
outright.
This is
Seattle.
How did...
Not the Seattle that our older brothers knew, I guess.
Okay.
Man, Seattle was coming in like a freight train the last 2 weeks. I think I had it, 31-10. It was just about the opposite.
Yeah. Well, it felt that way, but it actually ended up being really close.
I just thought I'd ask if you need anything. I'll be behind this curtain.
All right. Thank you.
I wish I knew, Rob. That's all my answer. I don't understand it either.
So, well, the Wizard of Oz is Rob Still. So anyway, as Rob pointed out, the Seahawks lost to the Chargers. Russell Wilson had a bad game. He just had a bad game. I mean, there's no other way of putting it. He had a bad game. He made a couple of really bad third down throws that could have been conversions. Should have been conversions. One may have gone for a touchdown to Jerron Brown. He had that horrible interception. I mean, it was like you saw the Bears interception. 12s may have seen the Bears interception that got run back for a touchdown. Well, it's funny because I think Russell Wilson has thrown two interceptions this year. Is that right? And they're both for touchdowns. So it's weird. And then he took two really bad sacks. Russell Wilson was not the reason that they lost the game, because it's a team sport, but he was a big reason they lost the game, wasn't it?
It was. He was just out of sorts. I mean, I think the offensive line was not horrible, and which is usually the problem, but he wasn't. I don't know if it was good coverage by the defense. The receivers weren't open. He couldn't find them. His throws were off. I think what they say, he's only had, three pick sixes in his career and something like that. But, yeah, that was horrible. And it's almost like almost every aspect of the team just fell apart this weekend. Just short of the offensive line, like I said, but it was a bad performance, I thought.
Yeah, and then still, you know, at the end of the game, they had a chance to, if they'd scored the touchdown, which, you know, they were a foot away from scoring the touchdown, and then gone for the 2-point conversion and made that, they could have tied it and sent it to overtime, because this is a Seattle football team. This felt like you kind of pointed out a second ago, it felt like 31-10, but it wasn't. It wasn't even that far apart. It just felt that way. And I'll ask you this. So, there's a lot of talk on 710 ESPN Seattle. A lot of people calling in and the host talking about David Moore's drop. To me, because it got tipped where it got tipped, I know he's an NFL receiver, but it wasn't like it got tipped 10 yards from him. It got tipped right in front of him. That's hard to make that, especially when he's not just standing there. I mean, he's going for the ball. It's hard to transition from there's the ball. He didn't just drop it. It got tipped, and that affected it, didn't it?
It's huge. I mean, and that's why one of the big – I obviously I'm not a NFL wide receiver, but I played wide receiver, and it's – you do the concentration drills constantly for that reason, because things get tipped and, you know, they're concentrating on catching the ball. But – you can't catch every one of those, and it's real in real time. You know, it's a whole different story than slow motion, and, you know, we weren't there. But yeah, those are hard to catch, and, you know, some he's made some miraculous catches too. The week before, boy, they were catching everything, and so I think we might have a little more expectations that, well, maybe that's the way they're going to do it. But yeah, that was a tough one.
Yeah, we had explosive plays. Only Doug Baldwin had one over 40 yards. The next longest catch was, I think, 11 or 12. So Tyler Lockett, I mean, they made an effort to kind of not allow him anything deep. But again, if Russell Wilson connects with Jerron Brown like he should have, a wide open Brown, and just misses him, that's a big game, if not a touchdown. Yeah. I mean, this whole game. And we shouldn't dismiss the fact that the team changes when Chris Carson goes out of the game and can no longer. Eight rushes, 40 yards. That first drive was a great drive. Mike Davis, who, you know, he was on 710 ESPN Seattle today. He's fun to listen to. He's a good running back, but he's not Chris Carson. It just changes the physicality of the football team, doesn't it?
Yeah, he's just Carson's just such a hard north and south runner. And I mean, I like Davis. Davis is a good, solid smash mouth guy, but yeah, he's not Chris Carson. I'm glad we have Davis, because who knows where we'd be without him, but he's earning his money. But yeah, Carson's the guy.
Yeah, he is, and there's a chance he may not play this week against the Rams. And DJ Fluker, who also had to go out with a lower leg calf injury, missed most of the second half. He was out of the game. Bradley McDougald missed all of but one snap in the second half. I mean, those are three huge guys this year. It's amazing that they were able to come back and make it as close as they were without those three guys. And I guess, you know, we'll get into positives in a minute, but if you're facing the Rams on the road, Carson is going to be important. I hate to say this because it's the NFL and the Seahawks are not throwing the game. But if you were Pete Carroll and you had any doubts that Chris Carson could play fully, and if he did play, if it would affect the rest of the season, would you just rest Carson this week?
I mean, I don't want to. Like you said, it is the Rams. I mean, at home, or it's I have no hope of that game, you know, being a W for the Seahawks. But you know, like any given Sunday, I guess was the movie, right? But
right.
It's yeah, and I guess I saw something just a few minutes ago. One of my buddies texted me, CJ Procise, he's ready to play. He's dying to play. Oh, really? Oh, okay, finally. But do you want him to play? I mean, what's been going on with the guy?
He'll Jeez. Play for a couple of snaps.
Yeah, and then go
before he gets hurt.
Get on the oxygen tank.
Yeah, Mike Davis, you know, and Rashad Penny, who hasn't been that effective, but he is playing. It's not like he's hurt. They tried to get him involved, I think, in the pass game earlier in the game, and you know, he ended up having that one run where I thought it was a well-designed play where they kind of spread him out and had him run wide on the flip from Wilson. He gained 9 yards. After that, he gained 2 yards on three more carries. He's just not. I mean, he might be a fine NFL running back. I'm definitely not ready to give up on him. But at the same time, he's not ready to start in the NFL. I mean, Mike Davis would be the starter. J.D. McKissick, when he's able to return, I mean, obviously C.J. Procise. Hey, you know, the Seahawks re-signed to their practice squad Troymaine Pope, who hasn't played an NFL game in 2016, but he was a fan favorite. Maybe he'll come in and. You know, maybe he'll be a late addition to the active roster, and he'll come in and run the ball five times for like 25 yards.
What does Penny weigh now?
It's hard to get a read on that, right? Because they talk about, oh, he's this, and then he's this, and then he's this. I think he's big enough. I just think the speed of the game is something. He played at San Diego State, and then transitioning to the NFL. And all those yards he gained at San Diego State against fairly bad defenses. He has extreme athleticism. I'm not doubting that. I just don't think he's ready, physically ready to play the game, or mentally ready, because he's not used to the speed of the game. Of course, Chris Carson, you know, I don't know. He basically runs the same way it did at Oklahoma State. It's just Oklahoma State didn't use him that much for what he did. So I don't know. It's interesting. I mean, obviously, if Chris Carson he's turned out to be the running back that no other NFL team thought he would be, or he would have gone in the first or second round of the draft, because that's how good he is. So, you know, it's hard to get a read on running backs. The Chargers, of course, speaking of running backs, gained 7.3 yards per rush on Sunday. I think that was probably my most disappointing aspect to me of the game, because they gashed the line, they gashed the linebackers, and Seattle's been pretty good in run defense. I was kind of surprised. Do you think they just focused so much on what Phillip Rivers was going to do in the short passing game that they kind of took their focus off of what seemed to be a banged up Melvin Gordon coming into the game?
That's what I was just going to say. Wasn't Melvin Gordon supposed to be banged up and possibly not playing, and then he just runs all over him? I mean, that's what the – I don't get it. I mean, it just boggles my mind how you can play so well for – you play crappy the first part of the season, then you start playing so well, and then all of a sudden everything just falls apart. It's like, wait a minute, what? And you know, there's a couple injuries and things, but I mean there wasn't much pass rush. The linebacker, I mean, KJ Wright and Bobby Wagner, or Bobby Wagner at least, he had a couple good plays, but yeah, I don't know what the hell happened there. It was crazy.
Well, and they did really good in pass coverage, and Bobby Wagner had 13 tackles, but it was almost like whatever the scheme was going into the game, it's like they weren't prepared for it, because the Chargers had the 94-yard drive, 83-yard drive, and they were making it look easy. And then, as it turns out, they didn't score at all in the second half, which was weird, as easy as it was for them to move it in the first half. So I'm not saying the game was rigged. I'm not saying anything close to that. But I think we do need to kind of talk about how bad – it was fucking shitty bad the officiating was in that game. I mean, it was atrocious. The guy for the Chargers stepped out of bounds. There was no doubt half his foot was out of bounds. I'm not saying that's why they won the game. Seattle didn't play well enough to win the game. But you had those two penalties on what Fluker and was it Britt was the other one, or Sweezy, where they had the unnecessary roughness at the end of the if a 380-pound man wants to hit you at the end, you're gonna get hit. Those calls were weird. And then you had the call against that didn't end up being reversed, which was called a touchdown, which was out of bounds. To me, there was enough that happened in that game where I'm thinking, if I'm new to the NFL, I'm thinking this is a lot like wrestling as far as how it's contrived.
Yeah, and that was a home game for the Seahawks, too. Yes. I mean, usually you get a little home cooking, but no.
There were just so many calls that went. I mean, it was crazy. I mean, it wasn't just Seattle. I mean, some of them went against the Chargers, but it was just like, were they still pissed about that overturned call the week before for Moore? Because it was just, some of those calls were just atrocious that you shouldn't call. And it was just, I don't know. But anyway, there were some positives. The defense, like I said, didn't give up any points in the second half. And Delano Hill came in. He actually, he wasn't horrible in place of Bradley McDougald. And Frank Clark, Jerron Reed had a sack again, because they're the only two who can really get pressure on the opposing quarterback this year. And then what do you got to say, Michael Dixon? So Michael Dixon was phenomenal again, 6 punts of net average of 50 yards per punt. And, he had 4 down inside the 20-yard line of the Chargers. I got to be thinking, though, they're trying that onside kick that ended up failing with Janikowski. There was that – which game was it earlier in the year where they had Michael Dixon literally kick off a million times? How would you not do it in that situation?
Yeah, because Dixon would go get it himself. I mean
– Well, yeah, exactly. Or he'd be able to – it's an onside kick, so you're trying to kick it short anyway. He would at least be able to kick it. I mean, it just didn't make any sense. Plus, in that situation with those timeouts, all the timeouts left, why would you not have Dixon kick it high in the air? And then if it goes to the 20, at least the Chargers have it on. It just didn't make any sense. It was a weird – I mean, why waste all those kicks earlier in the season when you're thinking about maybe setting it up for this kind of situation later in the year and then not use it?
Yeah. Who knows?
But Bruce Irvin – he won't be coming to Seattle. He signed with the Falcons. Any thoughts on that?
It makes sense. I mean, going back to his old defensive coordinator, but I wish he would, put that Hawks helmet back on again. But I mean, he's a good player. Why did he get released anyway? Do you know?
Well, the Raiders try to release all their good players, basically, is what they do. So they got rid of that awful player Khalil Mack, you know, earlier for nothing. I think they're trying to pick up. I don't know what they're trying to do. I think they're trying to create as much cap space, although this is his final year. So I really have no idea. I don't have a good answer to that. But I know that they're trying to get rid of certain players to clear a whole bunch of cap space, hopefully bring people in, because, of course, John Gruden, as we all know, thinks everybody wants to come to Oakland to play. And then they're stocking up all those first-round picks. Maybe 2 or 3 or 4 years from now, they'll be decent. But, you know, he's sitting them back like 2 years at this point. I don't know what the Urban thing is. He's signed. He's not horrible. He's not. I don't think he's a team cancer. He never has been that. So I'm not sure why they released him.
Now, I would have liked to have seen him on the Seahawks, but it makes sense. He went to Atlanta, but
yeah, I guess he's from Atlanta, which I didn't know.
Oh, is he? I didn't know that either.
Yeah, that's what he was saying.
Two good reasons to go down there.
Yeah, yeah. He said he wanted to go back to his hometown. He wanted to play in his hometown, which he played at West Virginia, so I didn't know he was from Atlanta. And then it makes sense to go back to his old D.C. as well. Of course, he could have gone to Ken Norton Jr. in Seattle, but, you know, if it's really his hometown, that's where he wants to play, especially since if he does well enough this season, he's going to set him up for a contract next year and, you know, whatever. Maybe he feels like the Falcons have a better chance to make the playoffs than the Seahawks do, especially after the way the Falcons played this past Sunday. Maybe they do. It's way off Seahawks, but I got to feel bad for the Redskins in a way, because they lost three huge players in that blowout loss to the Falcons. So the Redskins' season is done.
Both Grudens are.
Yeah, that's true. I hadn't thought about that.
Right. Falling off the rails.
And then, of course, we have the Rams game coming up this week. The Rams lost for the first time in 2018. They lost to the Saints. Of course, we're watching the Seahawks play. And then I did turn it over, after the Seahawks game ended, and watched Drew Brees throw this perfect pass to Michael Thomas for a touchdown. I kind of kept track of the score, so I knew that the Rams had scored 21 straight points. They tied it up. Extra motivation for the Rams, obviously, because now the Saints and the Rams both have one loss. The Saints would have home field advantage, so the Rams don't want to lose again. Those teams, they just looked a lot better than the Seahawks, though, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. And I don't know how. I talk with my wife. It's like, how did the Saints all of a sudden get great? You know, what happened? I don't know. But yeah,
Butch Jones helped them. Butch Jones was like, I'm resting this guy his whole college career so he can be a great pro.
Yeah. But that Kamara is something else. He is a player. I mean, Breeze, he's getting old, but he's still a rock star. But yeah, I don't know. It's not going to be good for the Seahawks come Sunday, that the Saints beating them last week.
Yeah, and I'll say this, as I always say it, and, you know, sometimes people give me feedback and sometimes they don't. If you took Drew Brees, put him on those Patriots teams, he has as many Super Bowl rings, if not more, than Tom Brady does. He's a great quarterback. Yep. He just doesn't have the same team. He never has had the same team. He's got a really good offensive coach and his head coach, but you put him in that New England system, I think he probably has more Super Bowl rings than Brady, because I think there's a couple games he doesn't lose.
Yeah, the way Belichick picks up players and puts players together and designs the team, structures the team around the players. He's a genius. I hate to say it, but
yeah, he is. And it makes you wonder how long he'll be coaching, because he and Carroll are, you know, right there together as one and two oldest coaches in football, and neither one of them seems to be quote-unquote old. I mean, I can see Carroll coaching for several more years if he wanted to. He's in better shape than I am, for instance.
Yeah.
So we both think the Rams are going to win. I don't think we think it's going to be close. It's going to be 4-5. I already got that in my head, because I'm afraid I'm going to write an article that says the Seahawks are 4-5, but they're not. They're 4-4, but I feel like they're already 4-5, which is sad. And maybe they'll come out and they'll win, and I have egg on my face, which is totally fine, but... So the biggest needs for this, I'm not talking about players that they need to sign. This offseason, like Frank Clark needs to be re-signed in Seattle, I think. But if you were drafting, if you were John Schneider and you're drafting for the Seahawks, what are your two biggest needs going into the draft?
I'd say you probably need another solid pass rusher. And, you know, depending on, I mean, I think the offense, I think the offensive line is shaping up pretty good. I mean, if, you know, if we can stay healthy there, I think, you know, the offense isn't that, but maybe another safety, a good solid safety back there. You know, those defensive backs are young. A lot of them are stepping up, but I think there's still an opportunity for somebody to come in there and just, and, you know, really, really take it over and be the guy. So I'd probably say a pass rusher and a safety.
Would you draft a quarterback? Like mid-round quarterback?
I probably would, because I really don't think that they're going to be able to afford Russell Wilson. I don't, you know, the money that Russell Wilson's going to be demanding, and I, you know, may get crucified for saying this, but I don't think he's going to be worth that kind of money. I mean, I really don't. He's not, he's, I just don't know that he's, well, you know, one of the elitist quarterbacks in the league. I mean, he's, especially last week, I mean, he was not even close. And I don't know what that was, but I just don't know that they're going to be able to spend that much money on him and put a good team around him. You know, I guess that's more of it. It's pay him and put a good the rest of the team on the field that's going to compete. I don't know that that's possible. So
yeah, no, that's true, because I think you think about like Aaron Rodgers and quarterbacks like that, and you, and no disrespect to Russell Wilson, I think he is a great quarterback, but I'm not sure, when you think about the Packers, you think about Aaron Rodgers, and you think, if Aaron Rodgers is on the field, because it's been proven, if he's healthy and on the field, the Packers have a chance to win every game, no matter who they're playing, and enough to get to the playoffs. I'm not sure you really feel the same way about Russell Wilson. I mean, if he's on the field, he's always on the field, and he's always at least healthy enough to be on the field and be good. But just him being on the field, I don't know if that gives the Seahawks a chance to win. I don't think they'll win against the Rams. Whereas when the Packers play the Rams, you know, it's like if Aaron Rodgers is playing, I think they have an outside chance to win the game just because of Aaron Rodgers. I don't think you feel that way about Russell Wilson. I don't. And I think he's a great quarterback. I think he's very good in Seattle. I think he's good for the city of Seattle. He's just not Aaron Rodgers. Of course, maybe I'm comparing apples and oranges, because I'm comparing a quarterback to Aaron Rodgers, who may be the best quarterback in the NFL. So maybe that's not fair. But anyway,
well, but it's a fair comparison, because he's going to sure be wanting money as the best quarterback true. In the NFL. So, yeah, I mean, if you're gonna want that money, you're gonna be compared to that. So that's a fair comparison, though, I think.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, he's going to want $30 million, I'm assuming, because that's going to be the going rate by the time he signs. So. He's a better quarterback than, you know, probably 5/6 of the league. But, you know, there's still those quarterbacks that are above him that are worth more money than he is. And, you know, again, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, Tom Brady, for instance, Brock Osweiler. No, I'm joking about that. But,
Sam Darnold,
yeah. Wow, they've fallen off a cliff, haven't they? Oh, we got high hopes. No, you suck. You still suck. So, but anyway, that's our show. We both think the Rams are going to win fairly easily. But Kevin, as always, you have the last two words.
Go Hawks!